No baseball tonight because of the rain in New York City. The ALCS Game 4 has been postponed, according to reporters that cover the Yankees. And some people are snarky. They will say, oh, doesn't baseball teams that know it's going to rain instead just open up their gates so people come in and buy the concessions and buy some souvenirs, and then they pull the plug so they have that like hour of money? It happens. I used to be in that game. I know people that did it. For the record, the Fort Myers Miracle did not do it, George. What, George, you were like, well, you guys are like crooks down there in Fort Myers. Not everybody in Florida is crooks. But no game four of the ALCS tonight. It'll be played on Thursday at 7, so there's no travel day. So that means Tanaka could probably pitch game four for the Yankees, as fabulous as he was in game one. And that bullpenning will have to wait for another day is what the Yankees were going to use. But after watching last night when Gerrit Cole was not the magnificent, mad bum Gibson-esque postseason, he didn't have his best stuff, but it was enough. I think that series is over. I think even just up 2-1, I think that just has the feeling the series is over. When you had opportunities against Cole and you couldn't crack it, and to know that you still have to face Verlander and Cole, and now you're a slump at the plate. Ottavino should not pitch anymore out of the bullpen if I'm the Yankees, and they got to find a way to get Gary Sanchez back engaged. He's having trouble behind the plate again. Was an issue in 17-18. Not so much this year, but he's not hitting at all. And the same thing that kind of ailed the Minnesota Twins, might be ailing the New York Yankees, is the ball is deader in the postseason. Major League Baseball is not going to admit it, but it's clear when people that are in the game, whether they be pitchers, they hitters, front office, managers, anybody says that the ball is different and it just doesn't carry. And two balls hit last night in that game were pretty evident that the baseball for the postseason is different. Didi Gregorius in the fifth hits a bomb that lands up as a fly ball on the warning track. And then Maldonado, the next inning for the Astros, hit one that in the regular season, that's in the seats. In the postseason, that's on the warning track. Major League Baseball is going to have to let people know in 2020, if I'm constructing my offseason, what free agents I'm going to get, I'm probably thinking, I'd like to know what ball we're going to use when I'm putting together my roster for 2020. I just jumped on my soapbox there. Because the Twins, if the ball is different, the Twins lived, and the Yankees were a better team, yes, but the Twins lived off the home run, and they got nothing. Balls, you know, the boomstick is crushing baseballs that end up on the warning track that normally are in the second level of target field during the regular season. So no baseball tonight. Sets up a really good sports night tomorrow night. You get Husker Radio Hour from 6 to 7 right here on this fine radio station. And then all at 7 o'clock, you get the Chiefs and the Broncos. Huge game for both, but even more for the Chiefs, trying to avoid dropping 3 in a row and the narrative that Mahomes has been figured out and Andy Reid can't coach and time of possession is a real stat. You also have now game 4 of the ALCS and Bellevue West and Omaha North play on TV. And in a big next to last week of the high school football season. So there you go. I've taken care of your Thursday night for you. Coming up is Scott Shanley in about 20 minutes. Former Husker, I'm sure, has some direct pointed thoughts on what he witnessed on Saturday night against Minnesota and where Nebraska is through 7 games. We'll go deep into linebacker. We'll jump to the second level with Scott when he joins us. Plus, you still have time to get in your mailbag questions. That comes up at noon. But in the inbox, the question in the first hour, the 6-6 and Bill Moose yesterday with a little media availability and again talked about 6 wins as the minimum. Well, he said 6 wins would be enough this year and getting into a bowl game. Where the AD can say that, I don't think the head coach can say that. But we did scoff when Moose said 6 wins. I mean, not only scoffed when you went back, and I remember the moment, went and sat back down and we were on the radio, scoffed when he said that. the media scrum that was around him, the 4,000 people that cover Nebraska football, when he said, somebody asked, it might have been Sip, said, what is a good season? What constitutes a good season? He said, 6 wins. And I think, like, everything just stopped around him. And everybody looked at each other. I thought, did the athletic director, who's likes some bravado, did he just say 6-6 or 6 wins? Yeah, he said 6 wins. Brian, into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary at 1620thezone.com, says, I think the Moose comment of getting to 6 wins was a genius idea. I think they all have higher internal standards, but 6 wins is definitely the minimum. If Moose was to say 7, 8, or even 9 wins or more, when he was asked about a prediction or a standard, anything less could make it more difficult to answer questions at the end of the season. If Nebraska were to only win 6 games, it doesn't seem like such a disappointment. If they win 7 or more, it makes it look like Frost and company exceeded expectations. Brian, thanks for the email. Again, I think the AD can say that. I don't think Scott could have gotten away with saying that. Tammy says, I was the 7-5 person. We've already heard from Clint. He was 6-6. Daryl was 7-5. Tammy's 7-5. I just didn't quite think with the depth we had and the lack of talent we had, we were going to go 8 or more wins. Ozigbo leaving, Morgan leaving, just didn't quite buy into the 8 or more wins. Can people buy into this? And sticking with the buy-in, last year that was the phrase that was run into the ground. Who's buying in? Is everybody buying in? Once you get people to buy in, you're good. Nebraska hammered Minnesota after a loss against Northwestern last year. They were 0-6. Things were going downhill. Staff knew they had something coming, but man, that was a tough loss. But the buy-in turned it around. 4-2 in the last 6. Oh, phew. Cleared that out. Got some of the guys that are on their way out of the program. Good for them. We wish them the best of luck. Now we got more guys in here and guys that were around last year's team that saw the buy-in. Now, the buy-in was led by some of the guys that Tammy mentioned in her email and some of the guys that are no longer here. But another part of this season that is so quirky and odd and throwing curveballs at a young staff that is showing their coaching chops, whether they be young coaching chops or they be learning on the fly, is back to you never thought that you'd have to have buy-in from week to week. Thought that would probably be the least of your concerns. Yeah, there's some that are still lingering that when things go south and adversity hits, you fall back on bad habits. We all do that. We do that in radio. I do some of that on air. Some of the things, man, when I'm struggling, I'll go back and in radio inside baseball stuff, I'm going to get downgraded. I'm going to get a demerit for. So you knew kind of that might happen. And we saw that against Colorado when adversity hits and things went south. Some of the older guys that didn't know any better, except for the falling back on bad habits. But I don't think anybody thought, man, you might have to have some buy-in week to week. John says, bowl games. Do the players want to play in a bowl game? Yes. It would mean another 4 weeks together without any game. They're apparently already tired of each other. I did say if it's a grind to get to the finish line and you have 6 secured, what does December look like? But the guys that look at it as a grind instead of Garrett Nelson maniac energy, 110% GBR, those guys probably embrace it. And remember, doesn't count towards your 4. So you could have a different crop of guys that are playing. That's why as the second half of the season moves forward and you wonder who's going to be stepping up, who's going to be that player that's going to be the spark in 2019, you might also be looking for, is that guy going to be the foundation of 2020. Because there's probably going to come a point here in the next couple of weeks, and even during the bye week, where this is on the players. Coaches can only do so much, and now coaches sit back and they watch on the players. And they watch who takes over. Who has that want to? Who realizes what they're doing wrong and they correct it in season. Don't wait until weight room season, spring season, summer conditioning season. We watch, we see who figures it out in season. That shows me that you care. Things start to get into the pressure cooker. Who cracks? Who talks and says things that you go, quit, breaking point, huh? I think we would probably pay closer attention to some people and what they say when they have media availability. They give you some insight into the team. Is what you're answering questions, are you talking about yourself? Are you talking about your teammates? Are you talking about in general? Do you have an agenda? It's the time of the year with the way the season has gone that you're going to find out a lot about a lot of people. You're going to see a young staff and a young head coach grow. Knowing that, hey, we're not going to get fired at the end of the year, but this is going to test us and we're going to learn what progress looks like. And I asked a couple of our guests yesterday, when do you think Scott and his staff will judge progress? Is it necessarily on a Saturday morning after you play Iowa? Is it after you play in New York City at the Pinstripe Bowl or wherever Nebraska could go if they become bowl eligible? Or is it some point during next season, halfway through, where you go, man, the progress of 19, we found the magic formula here. When we were able to sit down, take a deep breath, get away from each other. Players could be with players. Coaches could be with coaches. We don't have to see each other every day. They worked on things. We worked on things. Then we got back together. Man, you might not be able to look at progress in 19 after Saturday night in Minnesota until halfway through next year. Or they may judge it. They may judge it now and know something in the feel and what they see on a daily basis that this is going to be a grind and progress won't necessarily be attained quickly. We're just going to have to gut it out and find a way to six. All right, 11:19, quick break. Come back with more on this topic and additional thoughts. Scott Chanley still to come. Mailbag at noon, fantasy football at one. And Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star stops by for his weekly visit at 1:30 on The Gary Sharp Show.